is a very dear friend. I know that his desire is to present that which would be true and beneficial to each one of us. And so I had asked for your prayers in that regard, and that you give him your attention and your smiles. Brother Trevor Ratt.
Thank you, Donnie. I want to welcome you all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Beautiful day today. I want you to think today or this evening about your maturity as a Christian. I've thought about that quite a bit here lately. I'll explain a little bit. I thought in a lot of ways that I was very mature as far as my Christian understanding. And I found that I had an experience not that long ago that I found that I wasn't as mature as I thought I was. In our anger, when we get angry, when things go wrong, in sickness and turmoil, in adversity, even financial ruin. And so the first thing we would think about would be Job, the example that he set. And I'm not going to go to Job because I know you all know what happened to Job. But the one thing, you know, that I hear brothers and sisters say is that when these things come upon them, they say, well, you know, I lost everything, but that was okay. But you know, Job lost his family too. He lost his sons and his daughters. And that would be a very difficult thing for myself to do. And yet, God still blessed him because he believed. And he didn't say to himself, he didn't say, well, why did this happen to me? Like most of us do. And even myself. He had Christian maturity. We have no right to ask God why things happen. But God understands that we haven't matured. When things used to happen to me and I was buffeted by Satan, I would say, I am not Job. And I'd be left alone for a little while. That was my immaturity. I don't say that anymore. Because I want the glory of God to be manifest in ourselves. That when we are buffeted, that we smile and just go on. Do you think God wants us to be poor or sick? No. But you know, in the Book of Mormon, in Ether, page 719, is the example I want to use. And I'm going to start in the 52nd verse. And it came to pass that the brother of Jared did so according as the Lord had commanded. And he cried again unto the Lord, saying, O Lord, behold, I have done even as thou hast commanded me, and I have prepared the vessels for my people, and behold, there is no light in them. Behold, O Lord, wilt thou suffer that we shall cross this great water in darkness? And the Lord said unto the brother of Jared, what will ye that I should do that ye may have light in your vessels? For behold, ye cannot have windows, for they will be dashed in pieces, neither shall ye take fire with you. For ye shall not go by the light of fire, for behold, ye shall be as a whale in the midst of the sea, for the mountain waves shall dash upon you. Nevertheless, I will bring you up again out of the depths of the sea, for the winds have gone forth out of my mouth, and also the rains and the floods have I sent forth. And behold, I prepare you against these things, for howbeit you cannot cross this great deep, save I prepare you against the waves of the sea and the winds which have gone forth and the floods which shall come. Therefore, what will ye that I should prepare for you, that ye may have light when ye are swallowed up in the depths of the sea? And it came to pass that the brother of Jared, now the number of the vessels which had been prepared was 8, went forth unto a mount, which they called the Mount Shelem, because of its exceeding height, and did molten out of a rock 16 small stones. And they were white and clear, even as transparent glass. And he did carry them in his hands upon the top of the mount, and cried again unto the Lord, saying, O Lord, thou hast said that we must be encompassed about by the floods. Now behold, O Lord, and do not be angry with thy servant because of his weakness before thee. For we know that thou art holy and dwellest in the heavens, and that we are unworthy before thee. Because of the fall of our natures have become evil continually. Nevertheless, O Lord, thou hast given us a commandment that we must call upon thee, that from thee we may receive according to our desires. Have you ever felt that unworthiness, your nothingness? Yet you know those things that you need so bad to sustain you. I've been there and had God so close to me that I could feel him. The most wonderful feeling in the most difficult time in my life. A closeness above anything else. And I would like that for each and every one of you. But the cost was great. Now the brother of Jared knew he needed this. And it wasn't that he only needed it for himself. There was 8 vessels. He knew he needed them all. It wasn't selfish. Are we any different? We think about, you know, our brothers and sisters, what their needs are. Verse 64, behold, O Lord, thou hast smitten us because of our iniquity and hath driven us forth. And for this many years we have been in the wilderness. Nevertheless, thou hast been merciful unto us. O Lord, look upon me in pity, and turn away thine anger from thy people, and suffer not that they shall go forth across the raging deep in darkness. But behold, these things which I have molten out of the rock. And I know, O Lord, that thou hast all power, and can do whatsoever thou wilt for the benefit of man. Therefore, touch these stones, O Lord, with thy finger, and prepare them that they may shine forth in darkness. And they shall shine forth unto us in the vessels which we have prepared, that we may have light while we shall cross the sea. Behold, O Lord, thou canst do this. We know that thou art able to show forth great power which looks small unto the understanding of men. And it came to pass that when the brother of Jared had said these words, behold, the Lord stretched forth his hand and touched the stones one by one with his finger. And the veil was taken off the eyes of the brother of Jared, and he saw the finger of the Lord. And it was as the finger of man, like unto flesh and blood. And the brother of Jared fell down before the Lord, for he was struck with fear. And the Lord saw that the brother of Jared had fallen to the earth. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, why hast thou fallen? And he saith unto the Lord, I saw the finger of the Lord, and I feared lest he should smite me. For I knew not that the Lord had flesh and blood. And the Lord said unto him, Because of thy faith thou hast seen that I shall take upon me flesh and blood, and never has man come before me with such exceeding faith as thou hast. For were it not so, ye could not have seen my finger. Sawest thou more than this? And he answered, Nay, Lord, show thyself unto me. And the Lord said unto him, Believest thou the words which I shall speak? And he answered, Yea, Lord, I know that thou speakest the truth, for thou art a God of truth, and canst not lie. And when he had said these words, behold, the Lord shewed himself unto him and said, Because thou knowest these things, ye are redeemed from the fall. Therefore ye are brought back into my presence. Therefore I show myself unto you. Behold, I am he who was prepared from the foundation of the world to redeem my people. Behold, I am Jesus Christ. You know, I think about how far I've come in many areas. And also I think of how far I've slipped in some areas. I believe that we're as close or as far away from our God as we desire to be. What is our sacrifice to God? To come here once a week, pray for the things or possessions that we think we want, not need? We're missing the boat, folks. That once a week visit is nothing. God wants total obedience. Are we there yet? I know I'm not. I get an E for effort. And not because it just starts with that. I want to tell you a little story about what happened a couple weeks ago. Some of you know it. It was Saturday night, and my heart was just pounding. And I felt that feeling that when I have go there into atrial fibrillation. And so anyway, I called up my brother, and he was at home, and I asked him if I could come over and if he could check and see if that's what it was. And so he said, I'll meet you down at the clinic. I got a stethoscope down there. So I get over at the clinic and checks my heart, and it was doing 130, and the bottom half was skipping a beat every now and again. So I knew that it was back doing it. And with this job coming up and stuff, I was kind of concerned about that. And so he administered to me, and he said, keep that stethoscope. And we decided that we would fast about it. And he had to go to a birthday party the next day. It was Friday night, I'm sorry. The next day, after he got done working, so we fasted. And he came over and administered to me, and I prayed about it that night before I went to bed. I've tried to be a lot more prayerful about approaching the Lord. And I asked the Lord, I said, I've had these pains in my leg and behind this one eye for probably over a month now. And I said to the Lord, I said, if you take this pain away from me in the morning, I know that you've healed me. So Next morning I wake up and I've got no pain. So I go in, take my heart medication. Pain comes back. My lack of faith. Did I believe God? Did I tempt God? And I realized how far I hadn't come. Total obedience. You know, in days past, I could have asked anything from God. And not only would he answer me immediately, he'd also answer me the way that I asked it to be answered. I had that closeness. But I don't have that broken heart and contrite spirit that I had then. I see my unworthiness. I look inside myself and realize how much I am not. Where's my Christian maturity? In that area, it failed me. I have to look inwardly. In honesty. How am I doing by God's standard? Not mine. And sometimes the answer is not very well. I keep saying to myself, weighed in the balance and found wanting. It's like turning the other cheek. That was one of the most difficult things I was ever able to do. I used to love to retaliate. But over the years, God has showed me, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. And he's made sure I understood how he administered that. Not with words or with deeds. How about being kind to one another? It's like being honest. It's like doing more than what's asked of you. Always doing the right thing. Even paying tithes when you're just getting by. And seeing that is a commandment. It's like keeping the Sabbath day holy. And that is a commandment. God doesn't need your money. He wants your obedience. Maturity or immaturity. Look at the things that divide us. The sacrament would be a good one. We took today and have considered it. I'm sure you have. Have you considered the other side? The reason why God doesn't answer some of our prayers is because if he answered them, we would destroy one another. How about divorced? Have we considered the children? Have we considered our selfishness? I have. I've been there. It was the one thing that brought me close to my God. Because I had no control over what was going on. our immaturity. Many sick in our church, both spiritually and physically. Why can't they be healed? Is it our lack of maturity? You know, we're in such a hurry to get out of here to watch the football game. Is that maturity? I could go home and work on the farm for the Sabbath day. And for a long time I did that because I'd work 6 days a week. That was my excuse. My lack of maturity. I consider myself part of the problem. I desire to be like the brother of Jared, going further than I considered, putting forth that extra effort, like he climbed up on that mountain. For us, it's like, let's just do it right here and now. Let's administer to someone without praying about it first. Let's do all these things without considering our God. He climbed that high mountain. He molded those rocks. He made a special effort because he knew what he wanted to do. He knew what he wanted the Lord to do. I came to prayer service last Wednesday. I heard Randy give his testimony about his fast. Some of you were here. And my brother Marvin Case read the 58th chapter of, Isaiah. And I considered it. What is our fast? What do we consider acceptable to the Lord? Or what does he consider is okay? Because I consider myself, and Randy understood that what he had done wasn't good enough. I heard one of our ministries say that we have members going to other churches because they don't see any difference between us. Is that another sign of our maturity? Let's go to 1 Peter. Fourth chapter. Verses 17, 18. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? And I want to put it to you one way. How about the scarcely righteous? I just switched those two words around a little bit. Because that's what I feel that we are. How about charity? And it says the pure love of God. What do? We throw someone a hamburger on the street or some change and consider it done. And that's to the world. How about our own? How do we help our own? Haven't seen too much of that either. Matthew 25:14. For the kingdom of heaven is, 14th verse. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servant and delivered unto him them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them one, them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with them. And so he that had received the 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter ye into the joy of the Lord. He wasn't selfish. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou hast delivered unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strewn. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow it not, and gathered where I have not strewn. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchanges, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. The job is as big as you want it to be. You know, I hear people say, well, I'm not ministry, I can't do anything. You can witness to your neighbors. You can witness to the people you work with. And they can see it in the way that you live your life, the way that you answer them, many ways. And yet we don't. You are the ones that convert with the Lord's Spirit by your actions, by your deeds, by the way you have that pure love of Christ in you. Are we ashamed of the gospel? I'm not. Are we pricked in the heart? Yes. Or are we just like the Jews? And we think that we're God's children just because we believe in Christ. The devil does also. Go back a page. Matthew 24, 46 verse. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. I could read you that whole thing. But to me, requires effort. It requires that we do something that makes us different. Kinder to one another. Put these divisions away from us. Consider your neighbor. Consider your brother or your sister. Consider your fast or your effort. I have. And I pray that each and every one of you will consider these things and try and be that beautiful branch. Thank you.
Thank you. I got caught here and I'm not sure what our closing song is.